Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, and I'm sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, it's like the changing of seasons, literally, because this is our last Summer of Fun episode for the season. And I hate to see Summer of Fun wrap up. I mean, it's fun to do the regular show too, where we're all bringing our own stories, and but we're wrapping up Summer of Fun with a Cool Things episode. So my only disappointment with today's episode, and we haven't even started yet, is that Chuck Joyner isn't here, so I'm not going to be able to cost him money.
You could cost me money.
But exactly. I could cost you money. Yeah. All right. So, So the whole Summer of Fun thing, Patrice gets credit for that because she's the person that said, this is something that might be fun to do. And Patrice, you were absolutely right. So this is our, second year of Summer of Fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're doing it because the news cycle in the summer tends to be a little bit slower, a little bit more boring. So picking a topic and just running with it has been a fun way to be able to still come together in the summer instead of taking a break and getting to hang out and just have a good time. So Patrice, thank you so much for suggesting we do Summer of Fun. You rock.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I only stole it from someone else.
Yeah, well,
borrowed.
Yeah,
that's all
right. What's the saying? The best artists steal, and they mm-hmm. know what to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Patrice, as long as we're chatting, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in Stockholm, Sweden right now. It's cool here. There is so many Americans at the hotel. It's not even funny. Like it feels like half of the people here are Americans. It's really like every day, like there's another person walks by and like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, there was even like one lady, she was from the same place as another couple, like literally, and didn't even know, like stuff like that. So it's been fun, but it's really cool here. Like I found a really good cafe, I found like really good restaurants, I walked a ridiculous amount of like miles. I think I did like 10 and a half. No, I did like 11 yesterday. I probably did, I don't know, 12 or 13 today. Like walking for hours, literally, because like, not that they don't have good public transport here, because they do. It's just like, everything is walking distance. I'm like, and I'm here to like enjoy things and walk. So I'm just walking around everywhere. And like literally today I was like, okay, I could take the public transport like two stops. We can just walk. So I'm just walking. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been good. Like I'm really enjoying it. Weather is perfect, like everything. So Stockholm, highly recommended. And I literally put the cafe I'm going to every morning, I literally put on a map because Apple Maps didn't have it, and hopefully soon they will. Like I'm still waiting for the review.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're able to work out your schedule to join us today.
Oh, and, totally. That was not even a question.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing great. And it's great to be here on The Big Show. And I'm not on here very often, but worked out. And actually in my employer's office. So mm-hmm. I'm in my office today. So I was able to work it out during my lunch hour. So I wanted to join and couldn't pass up some cool things. So I was so glad I could join.
So glad you're here, and it's fun to mix it up and have you on the big show every now and then.
Yeah.
And speaking of mixing it up, Tom, how are you? I mean that in a good way. Just so you know.
I was hoping it was a good way. I'm doing great, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be here. Today is flower pianos in the park day in Golden Gate Park. They set up pianos all over the park in different areas, and they have people come and play them. And you wander around the park and listen to people playing the pianos.
That's so very cool.
Yeah, tonight is opening night, so it's kind of my wife's thing, but I like going to.
Awesome. Well, have fun. That just sounds like a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm, it does.
We have a thing here at the Denver Botanic Gardens every summer where they do music series, and they get different local musicians, and they have them stationed or positioned at different locations throughout the Botanic Gardens. So they do it in the evening, so it's a little bit cooler, and the lights are kind of going down, so you have some cool lighting going on. And then they just have all these musicians playing, so you can get a drink, get something to eat, experience right. A bunch of different musicians. And
yeah, it's the same thing here, except we don't have to worry about the heat. It's at Golden Gate Park, so you just have to bring your down jacket, and it doesn't matter what time of year it is, it's going to be foggy and cold.
Nice. All right, well, since we're here, and I've already done the spoilers and told everyone we're doing cool things to wrap up Summer of Fun, who wants to share their first cool thing and potentially cost me money?
Potentially.
I can.
All right.
Let me get the link. Let me get the link here. It is a really reasonably priced GAN USB-C charger. It's made by a company called Vulton. It's hard when I'm on a MacBook Air here without having a big screen. There is the link. It's 65 watts. It's got three ports. Wow. So it's got two USB-Cs and one USB-A. Works with pretty much anything. It's a GAN fast charging block. I just tried it earlier today with a MacBook Air, and it charged up insanely quick. It's nice, small little brick. The one I got was black. Apparently they aren't selling it right now. It must be sold out, and I also got a much lower price than what this is offering, but it's still a pretty good price considering. And they make some good products. It really caught my eye, and thought this was a good, cool thing to have. And it's really small, which is nice. So you can travel with it and be happy with the wattage you get, and have three more common ports.
$36 for 65 watts. That's pretty good.
And there's a 5% coupon on there too. So well, that's not much, but
yeah. But it looks like so I'm looking at this in Edge, and Edge has that thing where it looks for other coupons for you.
Oh, they found
and it found another coupon for me that'll do another $4.81 off.
Perfect.
So that would be kind of a nice price. See, you're already spending me money.
These GAN chargers are just incredible. You remember how big or how wimpy the small ones used to be? Wimpy. We'd all get small ones, but they'd be like 10 watts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God for gallium nitride, you know?
Oh, 100%.
And this is the GAN 3 tech. So it's the current technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one I picked on the Mac show last week from Satechi, like 200 watts, I think.
Right.
Also GAN, that's how they're like small. They don't need a lot of energy. I mean, on top of what you're charging with, for sure. And they don't get as hot. And I think that's also like a big difference.
And you can charge all three. You can charge three devices simultaneously. Mm. And being a GAN charging, it's smart because it knows how to adjust the port. If you're just plugging in one MacBook Air at the 65 watts, that port gets the full 65, and then it starts splitting down. So I think the USB-A is, of course, would be the lowest wattage, and that could go all the way down to 20 watts. That's what's so great about GAN. It's smart and adapts accordingly. So if you don't need to, if you want all the power, you just plug it in with the one device, and you'll get all the power it provides.
It's nice to have at least one USB-A port. You know, we all still have USB-A stuff laying around. That's a nice one.
Yep, that's nice. Yeah,
I'm switching away from USB-A chargers because I do not have any USB-A devices anymore.
Really?
I switched everything because, Worst case, you just buy a USB-A to USB-C cable, like, or an adapter or something. Sure. But I don't even need that.
It's very cool. Dave in the chat room, Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
She shared a link for another GaN charger that's 100 watts. That's on sale right now, too. So if you want to spend $45, there's a Ugreen 100 watt USB-C charger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but GaN. I talked about that last week. You don't always need the full power. I mean, yeah, it's nice to have 200 watts or 100 watt or whatever. But like, if you're charging one or two devices overnight, it doesn't matter. Like, go for the cheaper one.
In fact, Voltme has a 140 watt charger too. It'll bring it down to it'll be a little more, about $70 or $69.
See, this show is so expensive for me.
It is.
That's the point.
Yeah, I know. This is all about these are the Let's Spend Jeff's Money shows. Mm-hmm.
I'll put that link in there in the chat too, in case you want to look at that one.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right, who has the next thing?
I think that would be me. I'm not going to cost you any money, which is awesome. It's another podcast, so I know it's a bit meta, like it's like we're on a podcast, we're recommending another podcast, but it's not one of ours. Don't know, you might have heard of a young lady named Mayim Bionic. Might have. Young, Amy? Yeah, she's relative. No, she was Blossom on what was the name called?
The show was Blossom.
The show was Blossom. Yeah, never mind.
Yep.
She was in Big Bang Theory. She has a PhD in neuroscience. Like, she's just overall awesome, smart, and she's just really cool to listen to. And I recently, I don't know why it took me this long, but I discovered that she has a really cool podcast where she interviews other smart people. So yeah, she knows quite a few things, but it's not about her, it's about like the people she interviews. And she had one Sharon Salzberg talking about like anger and how to deal with that, like especially like in a like a say social situation. She's been doing like some really cool and interesting brainy topics, I would always say, well-being, she had one about faith, which I mean she's Jewish and quite openly so, stuff like that. It's just really, I'm really enjoying the episodes. They're like the typical hour, so not too long, not too short.
She's just very
super
too.
Interesting. Yeah, the one that hooked me was the one with Melissa Joan Hart. I mean, I grew up with her, and like Clarissa and Sabrina and so on, like were my role models back then. Yeah. And her talking about that time and like the trauma that she had and the things she didn't get to do was super interesting. Like to see like, okay, someone at that age, like, I mean, she said like she never really had a graduation. She never had like a prom or anything like that. Sure, she had a lot of other things and a lot of guilt about a lot of other things. But yeah, as I said, that was a really, really interesting episode. So highly recommend her.
She even talked to Will Wheaton.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, she did. She did. Yeah, it's like it's really interesting, like how she intersects with like other actors and other people in their lives, and how like the stories are sometimes similar.
I wonder if because of the way she grew up being a child actress, it was one of the reasons she got into neurobiology. You know, neurology. You know, I'm sure she went through a lot of crazy stuff. I can't imagine what that would be like growing up like that.
Yeah, probably. So, and yeah, it was, as I said, it's a really, really good really good podcast. It has everything. Like, it has some sciencey content, it has some entertainment. Like, it's a good mix of everything you would want. And it doesn't cost you any money other than your time.
And, I didn't even know she did a podcast, but
yeah, you know, she's
I am absolutely in on this.
Yeah,
she's got her YouTube channels, a lot of videos too.
Yeah, if you want to see the videos, like, she's recording them as well. So.
And she's also one of the hosts of Jeopardy now.
Yeah, she talks about that a little bit and how crazy that is sometimes.
Yeah,
that's very cool. Good well, pick. Patrice, thank you for giving me a cool thing that isn't costing me money. At time, yes, but it will be time well spent.
Oh, 100%.
Yep. And Tom, I see you just dropped a link in for a cool thing.
Yes, this is going to be the dumbest cool thing of the day. I guarantee it.
I'm up for dumb.
Sure. But I kind of had to pick it. My pick is Pandora. Okay, you can all laugh now. It's Pandora.
I used to listen to Pandora all the time.
A lot of people used to listen to Pandora. So as you probably know, Pandora was probably the original internet-based music service that a lot of people used. And they were founded and it's sort of fallen off the map as Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon and everybody else has sort of taken over that market. But I still use Pandora, and it's kind of a weird use case, but I'm an old guy and I have a lot of music of my own from CDs and stuff that I've ripped. So I don't really need, an infinite library of streaming, because most of the music I want to listen to, I own. But of course I want to do discovery. And so I use Pandora mostly to mix it up and do discovery. So when I'm kind of tired of listening to my own music, I'll switch from that. And I've set up probably 15 different channels on Pandora that I've curated over time. And that's [S2] Nice. [S1] When I find new music or even old music that I've forgotten about. So to me, it's kind of a supplement. And I've had a hard time using Spotify or other services in that way to sort of augment what I already own. So it may be a minority use case, but anyway, and it still works really well. You get ads. I do the free version because I don't listen to it all the time. You get ads, but I grew up with ads on radio, so it doesn't bug me that much. And I think Pandora was originally set up for the Music Genome Project. That was the origin of Pandora. Right. The founder set that up. And, in the early days, I think the genes that they set for each type of music was okay. But I think that's gotten better over time. So if you set up something and curate a channel, that actually creates pretty good channels now. Anyway, so I did kind of a deep dive on Pandora, where they are now. And I got some stats that, I think at its peak, it had something like 200 million users.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But today it has fewer, in double quotes, than 50 million active users. And they were bought by Sirius, the satellite.
SiriusXM bought them about 4 years ago.
Yeah, in 2019. So I don't think they're public about their numbers or revenue or anything anymore. And it was interesting.
It's part of SiriusXM they reported through there.
Right. But do they actually report how many Pandora users they have anymore?
I haven't seen the numbers as of late, but they've really, what they've done is, I'm a SiriusXM subscriber. So I see a lot of incorporations of Pandora's channels within SiriusXM. So tapping both those resources has really kind of made Pandora, in my opinion, a little more valuable when it comes to
the way. And I think it's made Sirius more valuable too. I think those channels on Sirius have really made Sirius better.
Yeah, I think, that's the perfect match. I mean, Pandora was basically radio on the internet.
Right.
That's their model. That's how it was set up. And when streaming really happened, like proper, that what we know as streaming today, it kind of overtook that mm-hmm. and kind of made it less relevant. And but people still yeah. listen to Sirius a lot, and people still listen to radio a lot. So pairing those two up and putting like the eggs in that one basket kind of makes sense.
I think it was a good investment for on Sirius's mm-hmm. XM's part, just because of incorporating that, and they're trying to get into the podcast. They bought Stitcher. Stitcher's gone now,
mm-hmm. right?
So they've incorporated not only the music part of it on the outside of what Sirius already did, they also got the mm-hmm. podcast part too.
Yeah, I was getting emails for Stitcher.
Yeah, I got the emails that they were shutting down. Yeah.
Yeah, given what happened to Spotify and podcasts, I wonder how well that'll go. You know, I think we've all seen that people don't really like, you know, people like RSS for podcasts. They don't like the walled gardens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's very clear now.
I don't pay money, specific money for any podcasts. I just donate to the ones I like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so Jeff, what's
Tom, you didn't cost me money with this one, but now you have me wondering what sort of playlists I had set up. So I'm going to try and log into Pandora later on.
Yeah, that could be kind of fun. See what you were listening to 5 years ago.
Right. Yep. So, all right. Well, then I guess it's my turn. And I'm actually not going to pick Lego today because that's so obvious for me. So I decided to pick stuff that's not Lego. Serendipity comes into play today because Kelly, hi Kelly. Kelly is watching and she is responsible for this purchase that I made. And it's the Nixie Wizard game controller for Nintendo Switch. The controllers that come with the Nintendo Switch, those are what, Joy-Cons. They're fine, but they're not great. And so if you're going to be sitting on the couch playing a game on your Switch and kicked back, it's on the big screen, it's nice to have a game controller that's more substantial and has button positions in a better place. And so Kelly turned me on to this and I bought it, and it is what I use all the time now. And I tell you what, the number of hours that this has experienced through Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga, I can't even tell you how many hours I've spent playing that game using this game controller. The instructions for it kind of suck, but it doesn't matter because it just basically works. So you can set up the trigger buttons to do burst mode, so you just hold it down and it just keeps doing rapid fire. And I enabled that without really knowing how I enabled it. And I'm pretty sure that I turned on something else that I don't know exactly what it is and don't know how to turn it off because I don't know what I turned on or what it does. So every now and then in games, I'll try and do something, say like with one of the Lego Jedi characters, and they'll just do something like really weird. And I'm like, I have no idea what just happened. And I'm pretty sure it's because of one of the control settings that I still haven't been able to figure out right. But, you know, even with that weird thing, holy crap, this is a really great controller. And you can use it wired or wireless. And it charges through USB-C. And it's like $70.
Wow. Does it work well wirelessly?
I have used it only wirelessly.
Oh, okay.
And it works great. The difference using this wirelessly versus the Joy-Cons is that even though this should wake up the Switch when you push buttons, just like Joy-Cons will, mine doesn't consistently wake up the switch. I mean, it does it, but it's not the same as the actual Joy-Cons, but whatever. It doesn't matter because it does it, and occasionally I have to try a couple times. But more likely what's going to happen is since this controller is sitting near where the switch is, I'm just going to hit the power button on the switch anyhow.
Right. And it's purple.
And it's purple. Yep.
Okay. Sold. It's not that I need a game controller because I don't game, but it's purple. So gotta buy it.
Yeah, oh, actually, I forgot. Show and tell. This is it.
Oh, nice.
So the purple.
Looks more blue than purple.
Yeah, and that's actually more the lighting. I mean, it's definitely okay. Purple. It has a slightly bluer tint to it than the photographs, but it's still very purple. And but yeah, I can see that on screen. It's looking more blue than purple. But it's, I mean, when you hold it in your hand, you're like, yeah, that's purple. All right. So
second, we got time for a second round, right?
We do. And I'm going to start us off with one, which is TSO Host, because TSO Host is awesome. Don't worry, I'll come up with another one. what I love about TSO Host. Yeah. So apparently I get to do a bonus cool thing because I'm starting with TSO Host. Here's the deal. TSO Host is a company that does web hosting and helps people buy domain names. It does all the web stuff that you would expect a company to do. And what they're doing is taking all of that and giving us the resources so that we can do the things we do. And that's really cool because without their support, we actually wouldn't be able to do this. The resources it takes to have the bandwidth that we need to live stream multiple shows every week, the resources that we need for hosting, for show files and server space, for the website, everything that goes into that, that takes a lot. And we wouldn't be able to do it without their support. So we really, really appreciate that TSO Host is here for us and helping out and giving back to the community because they're taking what they do so well and helping us do what we do. So thank you, TSO Host. Okay, so here's the deal. Let me try a different sentence. Here's what we need to do. We need to show them some appreciation. And to do that, all we need to do is go out on social media. Wow, that second sentence worked way better when I tried again. Go out on social media, give them a shout out and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do. It's good karma. And it lets them know that we all appreciate that they are helping out and that's a good thing. That's good feedback for them. So please go give them some online love. All right. Let's say though that you have the most awesome idea for a website and a domain name. And so you're ready to make that purchase and get that site going. Why not use TSO Host? We've already established they do what they do so well. So why not take advantage of that? Go get your domain name. They make it easy to take care of that. Add it to your cart. Add the hosting package and went to your cart. Then add the discount code BTN20. And when you do that, you're going to get 20% off your order. So not only is TSO Host being super generous by supporting us, by giving us the resources we need, they are offering a little something something to the whole BTN family just because you're here. So take advantage of that discount. And thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And this is the part where last week I put someone on the spot about doing the whole thing about where to find a live chat. Instead of putting someone on the spot, I will ask our consummate professional, Patrice, would you mind telling people?
I'm not sure about
to be fair, Patrice, it's a relative scale here.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that.
You're more professional.
Right. Okay, so we have a really awesome live stream, live chat actually. We also have an awesome live stream, which we put out there for you to consume every week. Every Thursdays, 7 p.m. Usually every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time. Today we're an hour earlier for the big show. And also, by the way, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you're into the Apple side of things. The show times rarely, but sometimes change. So follow us on social media, look at our website. We put it out there if that happens. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to get to our awesome live chat. And then you can like talk to the awesome people like Ben and like Kelly. And I mean, we're in there. It's also pretty awesome. We put in the links to the cool things, and we put in like usually news stories and like usually like the interesting stuff. There's always like interesting side discussions happening. So it's definitely worth it if you can do it. But if you cannot do it, it's totally fine. I mean, we record this podcast, we put it out there, we put the video out there on the website, we put it on like in your favorite podcast player of choice, it's there. And that's totally okay. That's what podcasts are for. You cannot get to the live chat anymore because that's not how that works. It's not live anymore, but you can still see what was talked about. And in order to get to that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and asks you to like select the date for the chat transcript. And you put in today's recording date, which is the 7th of September, 2023. So September 7th, 2023. And if you put that in, you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And see, this is proof that you are the professional among us, Patrice. Also the best dressed.
Definitely.
Okay, I'll take that.
Definitely.
Yeah. We lost Dave, but that's because sometimes technology does not favor us. And hopefully he'll be back.
We've proven that over, I think, 15 years of BTN shows, like, no, technology does not favor us at all.
No, it does not. So yeah, and I got another message from Dave. So he's actually having to reboot his whole system.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, do either of you have another cool thing you want to share?
I think Tom already put one in.
I posted one. I'm going to post another one that I won't talk about that I considered. So the one I didn't consider is ASML's new EUV lithography system. But
which you're going to totally buy for home.
Yeah, that would take all of Jeff's money and more, I think. So I'll skip the new lithography machine.
This is actually really cool.
Definitely is very cool.
Might have to get a new place if you want to fit it in there.
I'm going to need a bigger living room.
Right. Okay. So semiconductor nerds would think it was cool. My real cool thing is an SD card reader. And the reason it's cool is because I like to take pictures. And sometimes when I travel, I like to be able to... you know, the workflow is you go out and take a bunch of pictures, you have an SD card or two, you get back to the hotel or wherever you're staying and you load them on a laptop or whatever computer you have and, you know, do some quick curating and backups. I have this paranoia that I'm going to lose all my pictures from every trip. Mm-hmm. Which never happens, but I have that paranoia.
Yeah, but the reason why it never happens is because you have a backup.
Right. If I didn't back it up, it would definitely happen. Mm-hmm. So this is a little converter or a fob, and it's got a USB-A connector and a USB-C connector, and then it's got slots. You probably can't see it on the camera, but slots for both sizes of know, SD and mini SD. So basically, no matter what kind of camera you have, what kind of computer you're trying to get it onto, you have everything in one little simple device. And I, you know, the trip we took to South Africa back in February, I used it all the time. And even if your laptop or whatever has a SD card reader, you know, I had the situation where my brother had a camera with a mini SD. I have regular SD. Sometimes you have a computer that doesn't have an SD reader, SD card reader. Not that many laptops have SD readers built in.
Or the SD card reader is really slow. That also happens sometimes.
Right. Some of them are really bad. Anyway, it's only, what's down to $8.79 now on Amazon. So,
wow.
And it's super small. You just throw it in your bag. Really handy if you like taking pictures and travel a lot.
Very cool. And only $8.79.
Yeah, that barely counts as costing you money.
Right.
So a little cheaper than the EUV machine, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I could I could fit multiples of these in my place instead of one EUV machine.
Oh yes. You probably couldn't fit all of them in your place if you bought them like for the same price.
Right?
You have to do the math, you know. If EUV costs $100 million,
that's a lot of SD card readers. A lot of SD card readers. Yeah,
you could 15 you could million, totally store 16 million? You could totally start a business like Brainy did.
Oh my god! Right. The difference is that this is a complete unit instead of just left shoes.
I was going to say
that's so true.
This has both USB and A and C. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could figure out a way.
And it probably lasts longer than 15 minutes, right?
Right. Well, that's assuming it works at all.
That's true.
Yeah. But you see, that was the cool thing about buying watches from Greeny, because you weren't just buying a watch, you were buying an adventure. Exactly. Because you didn't know if your watch was going to work. And if it did, you didn't know for how long.
Yeah, it's like going to Vegas. Yeah.
It was just like going to Vegas, and probably with just as many hookers.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, assuming it was hand delivered. Yeah. All right. So that's cool. All right. Patrice.
Yeah, I have
another cool thing.
I have a cool thing. I know I picked it before. I checked. It was in 2021. But since I'm traveling, I'm like an evening watching TV shows. And since there is nothing new currently, I'm watching old TV shows. And this one is definitely counts as old. It was like 93 to 98, I think. Babylon 5. There's a good reason why I'm watching it right now, because there's a new Babylon 5 movie also coming out. Or actually, I think it's already
out.
It is out. I have not watched it because I want to finish the series before I do that. But I'm a big fan of Babylon 5. I still think it's undervalued. I still really enjoy it. I'm like, I don't know, I've seen it probably 6, 7, 8 times so far, like over the years. And every time I watch it, I discover new things that they set up in the earlier seasons that then pay off later. And it's really like, you can really tell that they thought about how the entire show will go. I mean, except for the last, like, the fifth season was kind of a mess because they didn't know that they had a fifth season, because they planned it for 5, then they only got 4, so they crammed it all in 4 seasons, and then the studio said, basically, when they were done, they're like, oh, by the way, you get a fifth season. So they kind of, at the last, I think the last couple of episodes, they basically pushed to the end of the fifth season and then tried to fill in. Okay, that didn't work at all. But everything else, like the main storyline, is very well set up, and like all the like the details that you notice, and like this, it pays off. Literally everything pays off at some point later. And what I really liked about it is it actually has aliens that are alien. It's not like is the forehead of the week, basically, or whatever. can we put a weird hat on someone and then, which, I mean, I know Star Trek did also for budget reasons, and then it's a different species. And they actually had aliens. Like, breathing different air and like being completely alien that like he couldn't even recognize them sometimes. And the stories are really good. The acting is good. The special effects, I'm rewatching it and they updated it, I think, for the like now that the movie's coming out. I think they redid some of it because it looks so much better than it did before. So I think they redid some of it. It looks more modern. It was really crappy originally because they didn't have budget.
It was like watching a video game for the space scenes.
Yeah, and they had that, and then like they reused basically like they had like a couple scenes that they could just like whatever would flip around and like whatever put a new filter on it and reuse it or zoom in a little bit or whatever, like make it look different though it was exactly the same. And you could tell that sometimes. They had basically for a TV show that scale science fiction no budget whatsoever, but they had really good actors and really good writers, and I'm really enjoying it. So I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm a big fan. Like it's in the top three of all time favorite shows.
Well, and it's got what's his name? Flounder from Animal House.
Oh, there's
Stephen First.
Stephen First.
That's
Bruce Boxleitner.
Yeah, there's so many, like a lot of the people from Star Trek actually show up in the show at some point.
From Lost in Space. Oh my
God. Yeah, there's so many well-known actors that have like small roles here and there. It's like, I mean, Penn and Teller like were big fans of the show, and they got a role like actually a couple episodes I think even where they showed up.
Oh, that's good.
Like that. So like they had a cult, like they had in the industry I think at that time like a cult following. Like some people wanted to do it. There is also. I'm blanking on his name. The guy Chekhov from original
Walter
series
Koenig.
Star Trek. Yeah, Walter Koenig. Exactly. He plays a pretty grim major role in the show. Stuff like that. Like they had really. They said they're undervalued. The whole universe is undervalued. Like they did with 5 seasons of 20 something episodes. They built a whole universe, and it has not been explored so far. So I'm hoping, I mean, they've been talking about doing another show and trying to get that going, and it looks like it might happen, but
I think this animated movie is a proof of concept for rebooting Babylon 5.
Yeah, my guess is if the movie does well, they might consider a series. But but you're right. You'd think with all the services dying for good content, something that did pretty well would be a good candidate.
Ben said Babylon 5 is the best TV show ever made with Super Nintendo graphics. Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. I watched Babylon 5 for the first time during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
And I'm glad I watched it. It is not my favorite series, although I really appreciate the work that went into the writing and the acting, and the thought that went into crafting these multi-season arcs, and the payoffs that we would get for little things that happened in season one, like much later on, far enough down the line that when you get the payoff, you have that, oh my God, I forgot about that moment.
Yes.
And it was great. And then the last season, which I'm so glad you explained to me why it is what it is. I mean, I wish I just hadn't watched any of that last season.
Yeah, you can skip most of it.
Yeah, I think what I should have done is when I finish season 4, just watch the last couple episodes of season 5 and call it good.
Yeah, pretty much. Like that's, I mean, they said they had to fill in. It was planned for 5 seasons. That's why it was also so cramped in season 4, because like they tried to get all the storyline of 5 seasons into 4, and yeah, so you know, studios, like typical network stuff happens.
Yeah.
It's still, it is to this day, it's really surprising how well it still place these days. Like the themes that they have, like war and like xenophobia and like all the human things that happen in Babel of Time as well are still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of similar to Star Trek in that sense, that you can rewatch it and it's still relevant.
Yeah, it's like I said, I'm glad I watched it. Season one was very, very difficult to get through.
Yeah, it's a lot of setup in season one.
If I hadn't gone into Babylon 5 with the intent of mm-hmm. watching the entire thing, where mm-hmm. the purpose of watching the show was to watch the show, I wasn't going in initially with the idea of I'm going in to be super entertained. It was more academic.
Yeah.
That's what allowed me to get through season one. Because it was an academic thing. And then it got better.
Mm-hmm.
But still, along the way, there are times where it's like, man, they really phoned in this story.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, sometimes I think they simply didn't have the budget, or they had to save the budget for something else. Star Trek has had the same issue sometimes, where it's like, first season of Star Trek, like, with the exception of Strange New Worlds, like, never been any good. It's kind of the same thing, and kind of also now when you've seen all five seasons, like forgetting the couple episodes that you don't need to watch, and you go back to season one, it's more entertaining because you understand more why it was relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because like first time you're like, okay, this makes no sense. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm noticing this time around, there's a lot of setups that happen in the first season that then pay off in later storylines. Like the whole thing with Babylon 4, for example, like why it disappeared. And there's a follow-up storyline later that where it starts to make sense. And like in the first season, there is a storyline about it, which is entertaining on its own, like the whole time mm-hmm. travel and time problems. But you don't understand it yet, why this is relevant. And then you come back to it and like, oh, now it makes sense. It's very mm-hmm. smart how it's done, but only if you know the full storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like I said, I'm really glad I watched it. And I mm-hmm. did enjoy overall watching it. And I know it's sacrilege to say this is not, in my mind, the best show ever made. However, I'm so happy for everyone that thinks this is the best show ever made, and I will fight to the death to allow you to have this as your favorite show ever made.
Yeah, that's totally right. Fine.
Yeah, and I am looking forward to seeing the animated movie when I get to it, but yeah, I will watch it, and I bet I will enjoy the animated movie. And I hope that Straczynski does get to do his reboot of Babylon mm-hmm. 5. I know he has so much groundwork laid for it already.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, so hopefully he can make that come together. Yeah. And
I mean,
and
now
of
it's
course
gonna
I
be
will
delayed,
watch it.
But...
yeah.
Now it's going to be, and you wonder, like, I mean, that was the '90s. You wonder like, okay, what, like shows and show writing has changed a lot, and we have changed a lot since then. And what can you do that you couldn't back then? And there's a lot, I think. I mean, you see it in Star Trek, like the Star Trek is essentially a different show these days.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right. There's things that they're able to do now they couldn't then, and it allows you to tell different stories. Yeah. Okay. That still counts as an awesome pick. yes. And Dave, I'm glad that you wrangled your technology back under your control. So you're back in time. Do you have another cool thing?
I do. I was looking to get a new TV in my office, and had a 32 inch. We needed to bring one downstairs so we could have a TV down in our living room area. So I got a 43-inch TV, which that's the one I'm talking about, but I didn't really have, I was limited to where I could put it because I didn't have a big stand. I really didn't want to pay a lot of money. This portable TV stand, it's a tripod, and it holds up to a 75-inch TV, which is crazy.
Wow.
It worked out really well for me, and it's got the same type of mount like if you would use the mount that's on your on the wall, like a wall mm-hmm. mount that's part of the whole kit. You just put the brackets on to the back of the TV, and just and it's got the lips. You put it down and put it in place, tighten it down, and voila, you got a TV that's on a tripod that gets, I could tuck it away. So it didn't really take up a ton of space to where I already had the TV from the previous size TV. And it worked out really well. And you see the pictures here on the Amazon link here, that people are using it outside and in other places to make it easy to move a TV around. And it's a great deal. And it's got a 15% coupon off of it as well. So if someone ever needs a Visa mount that holds up to 100 pounds and up between 23 and 75 inch TVs. Wow. It's pretty awesome.
What a smart idea. I never knew such a thing existed.
I didn't either until I just came across it.
You know, this is really cool. It's not something I need today, but I could see at some point needing it. I had previously looked at getting one of the TV mounts where it's like a big pole, and so you put it on the floor where you want it, and then it uses pressure on the ceiling to hold the mount in place, and you put the TV on it, and you know, so it was a cool idea, and save me from having to put holes in the wall to mount a TV. Yep. This would be way easier, and also
that's what I thought. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't gonna get a suspended mount, go through all this drilling and mounting, and probably right. Hire someone to do it because I can't do it. And this way I got it in a nice place. It's tucked away nice and sits nice in my office, and I got it right near me. And I got a nice bigger TV too. Not the deal.
That's nice.
And, yeah, you probably wouldn't want it for your main television, but like you say, for your office or a bedroom or something, this might be perfect. Yeah. Or for a movie night out in the backyard during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, for your very bedroom nice. When you fall asleep after 5 minutes anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. No, we got the big 55 inch on a dresser in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Very cool. Okay. So now I guess it means I'm the last pick. So my pick. All right. I'll preface this with, I think everyone knows I'm really into pens. So yes. I found a new pen that for me is wonderfully utilitarian and looks nice. It's from Lamy, and they're a well-known pen company. And this one's called the Pico. So it's a ballpoint pen that is really compact until you need to use it. And then it turns into regular like length pen. So here's mine. And you push the end of the cap, and now it expands out into a longer pen, and it comes in multiple colors. I picked blue, of course, and so it's a metal body, and it's easy to replace the cartridges. The one that comes with it's like a medium tip cartridge, which is nice, and I typically go with mediums. For this pen, it was a little more friction than I wanted. And they make it what they call a broad tip for this one. So I ordered a broad tip cartridge, and now it's just like this smooth, really nice feel. I think most people would be really happy with that, with the medium tip cartridges that it ships with. But wow, that broad cartridge that I popped in, super nice. And so the pen there, this is like a $30-$35 pen. Actually, if I look at my link, I would know. Okay, so it's a $38 pen. It's on sale on Amazon for $31.49. And replacement cartridges are like $5. Mm-hmm. So for what the pen is, it's a totally reasonable price. And in the chat room, Kelly's asking me, how do I use the pen without a fine point. Kelly, the way I use it without a fine point is by actually writing and not slicing my paper into strips.
No. Fine point. I'm with Kelly. Fine point is the only way.
Well,
I think we could divide the world into fine and medium point people.
I have fine point pens for art, and I have fine point pens for art. There we go.
Yeah. Fight.
Medium versus fine point.
But for writing, I need a broader tip. Otherwise, I seriously, I will run the pen tip through the paper. a fine point tip for me for writing is like using a knife.
Did you go to Catholic school?
I did not.
Okay. I think maybe my preference has to do with going to Catholic school and the penmanship classes we had to take. They were so anal about perfect penmanship. It's like medium points and ball, you know, the felt tip ones are just way too messy. So I only buy fine points now.
Yeah, writing with a felt tip pen is weird.
In Germany, do they use fine point too?
Oh, yeah. Like I remember in like elementary school, they were like you had to get a very specific fine point pen.
Yeah,
like, it had to be very accurate, like how you write.
Like that sounds like my experience. We learned
cursive at some point and stuff.
Right.
So, I don't know how it is these days, but like back in the 90s.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people that are learning to write today, cursive is some mystical rune script thing from a bygone era.
Like Sanskrit it or is. Something.
Kelly's saying 0.38 or GTFO. 0.5, Kelly.
Ooh.
0.5. Ooh.
We have numerics. We've quantified this argument.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I know what this one is.
Like I will fight to the death to defend your right to have Babylon 5 as your favorite TV show of all time. I will fight to the death for your right to use a pen that is basically a knife that bleeds ink.
That's funny.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah, and Kelly's talking about the blue hand, which I totally remember from school. You get the blue,
right,
from the blue ink.
Right.
And
I'm a righty, and I even had that. I don't know how, but I had that.
So here was my fix for that, which I was in sixth grade before a teacher finally told me. I keep a piece of paper, a square of paper by my desk. And when I write, if I'm going to do a lot of writing, my hand goes on this and I write. And now my ink on my hand problem is gone. Kelly's now talking about why she loves gelling pens. Most of the writing that I do is with gel ink pens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most of it's black ink, not blue. Blue was school. Black was the rest of the world for me. And so now I'm just, I'm a black ink person.
Or if you're a rebel like me, red ink.
You know,
you're out of control, Patrice.
Exactly.
I'll take it a step farther. So here's the pen that I use for gel ink. Is Paytex C.
I had one of them.
and I use gel ink in it. And while you can get the 0.38 tips or cartridges for it, I use the 0.5. And yeah, so I have black, blue, red, and green in here. So I'm set for any kind of writing I could possibly want to do.
Any kind of shenanigans you could get into.
Yes. And I bought the same pen with a white body so that I have color-coded pens, and the other pen has four different colors in it.
That's serious penmanship, Jeff. That's very serious.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'll walk all the way across the house to find my fine point pen, even if I write a 3-word sentence note to my wife. I will not use a medium point.
Here's this is just the pen jar sitting on my desk. And
pen cemetery.
And no, these are all alive. And wait, hold on over here. Okay, so here's a couple more. These are the nice ones that have like the solid brass body.
Ooh,
with
nice.
the stainless steel pen. Ooh, inside. Nice. And this one is I think it's titanium with a stainless steel pen inside.
Titanium.
This one's kind of fun because it has a ruler on it as well.
Of course it does. Wait, why didn't we do a summer fun episode about pens?
Well, we can.
Add it to the list.
We'll add it to the list. And next year we can do a summer of fun. And I will break out some of my other really cool pens. Because what I showed you, that is just simply the tip of my pen iceberg.
Wow.
Yeah. So we lost Dave because he had to go. And so I will pretend that I'm Dave for a minute and say that you can find me on the social medias. I'm Dave G 65. I'm sorry, I do a horrible Dave impression. But anyhow, Dave is Dave G65 on social media, and his podcast is In Touch with iOS. It's on Thursday evenings, and so I will be there tonight. And in the chat room, Ben is saying, "I do 75-year-old Dave. Back in my day, when we had to podcast with actual digital bits,
yeah. You've aged, Dave."
Yeah. Dave also does Chuck Joyner's show, Mac Voices Live. That's on Tuesdays. And he's on the Mac show here on Fridays. And he gave us a special guest appearance on the big show today. So
it was really nice.
It was great. It was great to see him out of the usual spot. So that was a lot of fun. And all right. I think I did okay on covering Dave. So Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays and also on the Mac Show on Fridays. Very important, tomorrow, the first non-Summer of Fun episode of BTN Shows will be our traditional keynote poker. So there's an Apple event next week. If you're into that, tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun to listen to. I highly recommend it. Like just guessing how wrong we're gonna be. So that's tomorrow. You can find out everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food related stories and memories, I also have a podcast called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And if you haven't checked out foodieflashback.com, what is wrong with you? Because it's a great show. It's a lot of fun.
I second that.
Yeah. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon at sfba.social, tomf@sfba.social. And my new podcast that I'm starting this week, which is Fine Point Pens Only.
Well, it's been great having Tom on the show.
And shout out to Kelly. Thanks for the tip. I now have one of my wife's Christmas gifts sorted, a Hello Kitty version of that multicolored pen. Thank you, Kelly.
Jetpens.com. You can find everything you're looking for. And I'd apologize for being an enabler on that, but I just can't. Jetpens.com. You're welcome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sure thing. Okay. So I guess it's my turn then. social media. I'm Jay Gamut on basically everything. And I'm most active on Mastodon, and I'm using Instagram to post photos to automatically go to the other services. So you can find stuff there too. And then for shows, most Tuesdays, I'm on Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. Then here on Thursdays for The Big Show. And then most Thursday evenings on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. And looking at the chat room, I have just been given the breaking news surprise that Kelly will be on tonight as well. So if you want to watch people who ought to be grown adults just engage in shenanigans while Dave tries to keep his show under control, this would be a good night to watch. And then Fridays, back here for the Mac Show, and then Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. So with that, wow, this has been a lot of fun. It has also cost me some money, and I was fully expecting that would happen. Patrice, I'm glad I was able to return the favor and and show you something to spend some money on. Yeah, this has been awesome. I genuinely enjoy getting to spend part of my Thursday and part of my Friday with all of you. This is just so much fun. And so, yeah, thank you. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, thank you for being here. If you've been in the chat room, thank you for being there too. It's been a lively group today, but considering Kelly Gumond and Ben, who's usually with us on the show, are there, it's no wonder it's a chaos space today. So thank you for being part of that. Hey, everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family. All of you, you all absolutely rock. Tio Sohos, thank you for supporting us. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows, even though the people are us, but thank you for making sure we have people for the shows. Check out the Daily News Show because it's awesome. And if you're not subscribed to that, you are missing out. And with that, don't forget to join us tomorrow to see the keynote poker show for Apple's, what would that be, September 12th event. Mm-hmm. And yes, so you will be able to watch as we record live to have evidence of how wrong we are with predicting what Apple will do.
Yes.
And then join us next Thursday again for the Big Show and then on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.